Hi there, welcome to another episode of the fantastic Fontaka Junction Real Talk. I hope you've had a lovely week and you're looking ahead to another engaging and thrilling week ahead. With me in the studio, as usual, I've got the indomitable Reshi out to the E to the S to the S.
Yeah, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. How's it been?
Here and there, yeah,
rocking it.
Yeah,
how's the I mean you are like the Nollywood, you know, crooner celebrity kind of guy. What's the industry like? Because you know, I mean, it's been buzzing this week. In fact, I think for the last 2 weeks it's been really buzzing. Femi Adebayo's movie Jagun seems to have hit the airwaves by storm. Everyone's talking about it. Have you got a chance to preview the movie yet?
No, but I mean, I was gonna watch it like I think 2 days ago, but I mean, some distractions again. Yeah, but you said you've seen it, Bobby.
Yeah, I saw
it
yesterday.
Getting quite a number of good feedbacks, you know, that's cool stuff. And I think it was today I saw somebody outing some people that have dubbed it already and started selling on DVD.
Typical Nigerian people.
Yeah, so yeah, but I mean, I like the reviews that the movie is getting, and that's cool stuff. I mean, I just don't like that the money, larger chunk of the money is going to go to Netflix.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that the agreement how do you know that?
That's always
I didn't know that chunk is going to.
Streaming
up. No, but I saw somewhere where Femi Adebayo said he had to sell some of his properties to produce the movie. So I mean, he's gonna have to make a good return on that investment.
To the Naira, he's gonna presumably make a lot of money in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in the real context,
in the long run,
look at it. Yeah, the streaming platform makes a larger chunk of the money. So that's.
But let's talk about like just the sheer creative quality and, you know, excellence of the movie, right? So Jagun is like a purely Yoruba movie, right? The storyline, I saw the movie. It's a 2 hour long movie, and I'll tell you, I'm probably one of the biggest Nollywood critics that you can find. I was spellbound for 2 hours watching a Yoruba Nollywood movie. That goes to show you something. I think the writing was
spellbound, or somebody who asked you.
No, nobody. No, I actually like. Okay, so the thing is, all throughout the week on Twitter, like I was getting fillers on Twitter. Right, everyone seemed to be dropping reviews and takes about the movie, and you know me now, I'm always like. These guys are probably they paid a few influencers to just, you know, promote their stuff. So it's normal stuff. But I think I saw someone, I think it was Jaffe or Modua or someone, I don't know. Someone that I really like. And you know, they're like, you know, they probably won't be people who will just say things for saying sake. It wasn't Jaffe, I think it was someone else. I saw them give a very strong, good review for the movie. And I was like, okay, if this person says this movie is dope, then maybe I should probably give it a try, right? So I said, okay, you know what, this Saturday I'm gonna just try and get some time, watch it. So you know, I logged on, played the stuff, and I'll tell you that it definitely met the hype. Jagun met the hype from the writing, which, by the way, I've always felt it was like one of the biggest challenge for Nollywood movies. They've gotten the production right. The acting has sort of got there, but the writing still, you know, I feel like for a lot of Nollywood movies, that's where the biggest improvement needs to be made. Being able to write a story that captivates your audience for 1.5 hours, 2 hours straight. Jagun got that right. The storyline was sweet. The writing, the dialogue was just right. No unnecessarily drawn out dialogues. No unnecessarily drawn out scenes. Every scene had its purpose, and it was just so succinct that you could follow the story without losing attention span, and the acting was good. I think I really like Latif's. Latif was like the younger warrior who, you know, came up from nowhere and gained. Yeah, Latif did a great job. By the way, I found out he broke his leg while shooting that movie. There was a clip somewhere that showed he broke his leg, and they were like, "Whoa, that was crazy." He had to like get some help from the bone healers guys to fix that shit up. But you know, Latif was great. Femi Adebayo was great. Like, this is the first time I actually watched a Nigerian actor act the role of a bad guy, and I'm literally like trying to reach across the screen and just strangle him. Like, he was really a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy, because Femi is always like lover boy, right? Femi is like always a lover boy, sweet boy acting roles, and then he played a role that was really different from his typical character, and he killed it.
Every single person in that movie was just living out what their parents have done. Adebayo, Salami.
It was Adebayo Salami's dad.
Yeah, that's.
He was on the movie too. Adebayo Salami. Yeah, Gabilu. Yeah. Oh, dope. Yeah,
that's
nice.
That's the dad. And they've been doing box office movies forever.
Sorry, when you say box office, what do you mean?
They've been doing box office movies. I mean, it's not just coming out now. It's not just coming out now. They've been doing it forever. Don't forget that I told you I grew up at Casino Cinemas.
Okay.
That's where my dad was a restaurateur and all. And
yeah,
those box office then they were sellouts.
Oh really?
They were
like guys to troop into the cinemas to watch like movies.
Back to back sellouts.
Wow. Know?
That's the way it always. That's it was then.
Wow.
We should have gone way 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 further than that now, if our growth kind of maintained. You know, that what's it called and all. Yeah, so I mean, kudos to him. I mean, they're just doing what I mean the dad has done, just like Kunle Afolayan, you know, and all. So the dad was a box office star then. Oh yeah, so yeah, but I mean, that's what should be expected, you know. And I'm hoping that we can continue with that tempo, and I mean, guys embracing. But there's something that I actually noticed about some of the reviews that I've seen, you know, and is that they had these English voiceovers sort of, and then
so they did a double version.
Okay.
There's two versions, right? Yeah. Okay. So on some platforms, you'll have the one where they've done the English voiceover.
Okay.
But
okay,
on the real version, it's typical Yoruba.
Okay, now I get speaking. It. Translated.
yeah. So they've got the translation. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so because of different audiences.
Oh, no, you shouldn't watch the one where it's English, because, I mean, yeah, if you're a foreigner, sure you can watch that. Yeah, exactly. A foreigner, but if you're a Nigerian that understands language, you should probably.
I mean, it's just like all these telenovela type of.
Exactly. Where they've done the English version for. Yeah, and they've done that because obviously it's on Netflix, and you want the product to be able to go to other audiences where they can understand it. And I think that we will get there. You know, just like as I was saying, for our Nigerian music industry, the same way our guys leveled up in the music game and began to capture the Nigerian audience, the African audience, and became a major sort of musical export to international markets, I think that we can get there too with our movies, right? Nollywood movies, where we want to watch our own movies. We're not really crazy about Hollywood box office anymore. I mean, we can watch them once in a while, but our main priority will be what are our guys putting out there.
Yeah, but
we want to watch that.
I would also hope that money will stay with us, and that money will get there. Taken out of
the truth is, we have to leverage on this existing platform for now.
Yeah, but you know the thing with it is, I mean, I had this conversation like on Clubhouse yesterday. You know, we were talking about, you know, the economy and all that, and one of the things that we need to, I mean, come to terms with is that, you see, we have to start thinking national first. We have to start thinking about how to retain our money, you know, within our own economy.
Yeah,
that's what China did, you know. Retain the money within our own economy. And you can imagine, if this Netflix hit box office now, if 80% of the revenue comes to those guys, they are going to be rich, then they will have enough money to also do another production. To make another production, which means that the turn of that would mean that some other people will get employed.
Yeah.
You know, and the ripples goes on like that and all. So for me, I'm particular about our money staying here. Someone was talking about Burna Boy's signature with a US music label. And
yeah,
they are the one managing all these transactions and all. I mean, by the time they did their year ending calculation and all, his music and his profile and everything has earned over $300 million.
Wow.
You know, and then he got $15 million.
Who got $15 million?
Burna Boy.
For real though.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, I saw it. I mean, how far it is true, I don't know. But because of the way this capitalist, system of the Amazon, the Netflix, and the streaming platforms, Prime, and all and everything, is profit to the maximum. You know, they will give you what seemingly look like profit to you.
To you.
But what they are making off of it is way out of it now. So for me, I'm looking at us having our own national, platforms, where we will be the one patronizing it. And now doing movies for the world is fine. Really, you said it now. We did a Yoruba movie and everybody is talking about it. Everybody wants to watch it and all.
Yeah.
Good stuff and all. Yeah, so if it can be exported, then fine. That's not a problem, But for me, I'm looking at us making more money from our products, from our works and all. Yeah, so that's
a long journey. That's a long way home.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like that, because like I said, I'm talking from where I grew up from and all. There was already a platform that was growing before it was truncated by bad leadership and bad everything and all. We have to start from somewhere. Because if we don't start from somewhere, then you can imagine what all of a sudden that Netflix said they are not taking our movies again.
Yeah.
And that can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. They will just cut you off. They say they're not taking your movies again. So for me, I'm saying like we need to first. I mean, we have Afri Nolly. We have
We have this guy. This Jason Kosu's Jason, sorry, Mosu stuff.
That's Afri.
Can't remember. Afri-Nolli. It's not Afri Nolly. It's Iroko TV, right? Iroko TV. Yeah.
Iroko TV. Yeah. We have all those stuff and all.
Yeah.
We need to start to patronize our own product.
Yeah, but those guys need to level up too.
Yeah, well, they need to level up. Yeah. But they need to level. The thing with it is that Amazon is supported by US government.
Word.
Everything that they are doing is backed by US government.
Yeah.
So nobody tries to mess with them. The US government will come to their defense. So our own government needs to back
needs
us
to
up.
Back those guys up. Yeah. They're not doing that.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Tony Subai with ITV.
ITV.
I mean, he was on the trajectory, actually going.
Yeah.
ITV. I patronized ITV because ITV was showing NBA TV.
Yeah, we all did at some point.
ITV was showing NBA and I was enjoying Premier League. ITV. I could care less what was happening to DSTV. But guess what? It was truncated by some Nigerians.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the way it would always be. So for me, that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it from just the hype and everybody shouting that and everything. Good movie, fine, which is fantastic, But they are not doing anything that their parents haven't done. But for me, let the money stay within our own environment. Major part of the money, let it stay within our environment.
Yeah, I feel you on that, and that's what's going to drive productivity and the longevity of Nollywood and what we're working on.
Yeah, I mean, Kunle is working with Netflix. They sponsor production of most of the movies that shows on Netflix and all. What if they say they are not doing it again?
Yeah, and then you become like really dependent on them.
Yeah, you become
really
stranded, and all. So our money, as much as that kind of looks good in that sense, which is fine, but our money needs to start staying in our own environment. American money doesn't go.
So, anywhere. If I was going to ask you very quickly, what would be your recommendation for how we achieve that?
My recommendation is that the government should start to look at, and the government is holistic, and you need to have a leader that has foresight beyond, all this political nonsense that everybody's always doing, pallying up with one another and all. If we have it, that way, our government will know the type of, you know, infrastructures, will know the type of policies that they will deploy, you know, that will make the environment very conducive, you know. And then if you can imagine, we have 200 million people. We have 200 million people and counting. If our environment is, is conducive for us to do business, and people are patronizing, people are always saying like, Nigerians are not affording, they cannot afford that and all everything. The people that, can afford to pay, you can imagine if you have 100 Naira, you are paying 100 Naira for to stream Jagun on your own phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plus that with like 50 million people streaming it on their phones. That's like 5 billion.
Mm.
You know? So for me, I'm saying like for us, if we make our environment conducive, people will come in and start to invest because they will see the numbers that we're making for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I'm saying that the government should begin to support, you know, people that are doing business in Nigeria, you know, movie producers, the music one too, and all and everything, begin to support them. And then also, we need to now have a structure in place, that penalize corruption. A structure that penalizes corruption.
Yeah.
And that's what China does. China, you can say maybe they are very, they are like sharks, you know, when it comes to doing business with other nations and other everything. If you mess up within China, they'll kill you. There is no two way. There is no, maybe they are trying to, I don't know. If you mess up with China, what they plan for them and all.
Yeah.
And you try to maybe embezzle and they'll kill you. They'll
just execute it.
You know, and all. So if we have a system that punishes corruption, people will not be cheating one another, thinking that they are making money and they are, cashing out, you know, and then they are jeopardizing what could be growth, you know, for the rest of the populace. And all.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going to look at it.
Yeah, perfect. I'm completely aligned with you. Speaking about the government and what they should be doing, right? Let's talk about this shit right here. Arise Television. I think Arise probably became one of the most popular Nigerian local TV stations post-elections because of their quote-unquote unbiased view on the political scene in Nigeria.
Unbiased views.
Like I said, quote-unquote. Quote-unquote, right?
Okay.
So, there is this rising trend between two of one of the major TV hosts, Rotus Oduri, and Rufai Oseni. So Rotus is apparently supposed to be like the smart economics, you know, guy who's always
speaking.
Yeah, dropping some hot takes around economic theories and principles. And yeah. Rufai is the guy who just wants to make common sense, according to him, right? Based on his own understanding of what's going on. They had a big clash, right, this week, based on the government's new measures to handle the crunching economic situations with their palliatives. 5 billion naira per state given to the governors to distribute to
five trucks of rice
to each state. I think about 40,000 bags of corn, maize, as well to be distributed in each state. And the argument is these palliatives are inconsequential at the end of the day, right? How are you going to share 5 trucks of rice across a state of say 10 million people, 5 million people? You want to share 5 billion naira? If you do the math, that's probably 3,000 naira per household. Like, what is the government thinking with all of these things? And Rotus is just, you know, going on and on about his economic, you know, what jargons, and saying, where is the money going to come from? Where is the money going to come from? Nigerians are always complaining because the government devalued the currency. That was why the revenue for FARC allocations increased from 900 billion to 1.9 trillion in the month of July. And the government was able to save 1 trillion that they've used to do this, to push out these palliatives and some other measures that they are trying to work around for the government. That we should just stop complaining and understand that the government's hands are tied. Quote unquote.
Yeah, government's hands are tied. Stuck in rubbish. what's it called? The same thing that this guy did there, was his name? Rufai when they were talking about the Naira redesign that time, don't forget, Rufai was the one that was like, yes, a good policy. They were championing it.
Because he thought he was going to stop with buying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he has his man. He's supporting.
Found.
He's supporting his man. Yeah, so for me, I think, I mean, he's trying to make sense. Yeah, in his own way. He's trying to make sense. But knowing and judging by what has been in Nigeria and how we have operated for so long when it comes to government lying through their, what's it called now? It's lying through their teeth.
Lying through their teeth, bro.
So, I mean, that one is just, what's it called? The palliatives and the cushioning of the plight of the people and what people are going through should have been considered before
all of these policies were implemented. Yeah,
should have been well considered. Those are the ones that you now need to set up a committee for. But you guess what? They don't set up committee. It is whenever they now bring the policies and the policies now start messing people's life up, they will now set up 10-man committee, and then the 10-man committee, they will now start funding the 10-man committee to go for another maybe 3 months. You know, what's it called? I mean, it's messed up.
Three-month deliberation.
Yeah, it's messed up. So what, I mean, Roti is saying doesn't make sense. It's just I can say, a band behind Rufai, because Rufai is making common sense. And that is how the government is supposed to be to the people. The government is supposed to be seen as making efforts to alleviate whatever hardship that they are going through and all. You can imagine, for instance, I mean, I heard when the government said, from the public transport that they have told them at the parks that they shouldn't increase these guys are talking nonsense, because you know that this is not what's going to happen. How can you just make declarations on TV and then you expect that that's what's going to happen? Guess what? The guys that, I mean, you are telling not to, increase, are they not increasing, fuel buying?
Yeah.
So what are you now? So are you now going to now tell them that they shouldn't increase? It doesn't make sense. It's just, I mean, senseless, you know, in that sense, because they said they were not going to collect tax from them at the park. So, and that should count for it. And I'm like, these guys are not really making sense at all.
How do you even implement that? If a bus driver starts charging people randomly, how would you know?
So for me, I think Rufai made a lot of sense in that that situation. At this point, the government are not supposed to be, nobody should be sticking out for this government, because they have not done their own part, which is, you know, to put policies in place, you know, that will counter, you know, the hardship that people are experiencing as a result of the dollar, harmonizing the dollar, black market and former rate, and then the fuel subsidy that was removed. The fuel subsidy that was removed, what was it supposed to be for? They said some people are making trillions of dollars or whatever, or naira from it and all. Money that they said they made, they said they were going to use it to, to pour back into the infrastructure and all and start to develop that. Where are the monies going to? And now we're supposed to be having a daily audit of what the money is being used for, where the money is going and all. But guess what?
We won't hear anything.
Emefiele now started to faint in airport. That's where it will end, you know, and all. So for me, the Roti guy should chill and stop speaking English. It is not English that people eat when they go to the market to go and make their purchase. So the guy should chill, just pipe down.
Yeah, I think that with Rotus is, I think he's being disingenuous. And I think you can just smell a rat from, a mile away with Rotus. Because he's trying to sound like a very smart guy, understanding economic principles and throwing a lot of fancy words and jargons on TV. But he can't tell me that he's unaware of the reality, the peculiarity of Nigeria's situation, right? One of his arguments is the devaluation of the Naira was done, right, so that you can free up the pressure of the government on maintaining an artificial rate. According to him, the 417 or 440 Naira to the dollar was not the real value of the Naira, the CBN was spending a lot of dollars to maintain and defend that rate, which was not sustainable.
Yeah, so that, yes, does that not look like a subsidy
remover? Yeah. So fine, you've taken it off, he's defending it. Now he's saying because of that movement, that unification of the rates, the naira inflow that the government made increased significantly, right? And because it has increased significantly, they've been able to save 1 trillion naira last month that they want to use to fund subsidies and some fund palliatives and all of that. Now the thing is this, he can't be praising that as a good step, because that 1 trillion that he's saying in savings, when you translate it to real value, the real value has depreciated, right? Because now that the dollar has moved up 800 naira, lost its value by about 40%, every other thing, this country's economy is benchmarked by the dollar, every other thing has gone up. So the value of that 1 trillion naira now is less than what it was 3 months ago. And the more the exchange rate continues to go unabated, the more the real value, the purchasing power parity of the average Nigerian's naira continues to depreciate. And Rufai is saying, you can't be praising the fact that your naira income increased because you devalued the currency and saying that is something we should be clapping for the government for. We need to be able to come up with tangible measures, right, that make that checkmates the influence or the impact of policies on the common man. And that's what Rufai is saying. And I think that Rutus knows that as well. He's been disingenuous by trying to stand on the side of the government and seeming to be defending the government, knowing fully well that this government is not taking the right approach to a lot of its policies.
Well, it makes for good TV, for Arise TV anyway. So maybe that's also a strategy for them. I mean, for people to watch, I don't know. But
I think the guy is just looking for appointments. Not even clout, he's looking for appointments. Everybody seems to be cutting the path of APC and Tinubu right now. Yeah. You saw your friend, Iledoche, he has also come out to declare for Tinubu.
That one's got many fish. But we are short of just declaring that Nigeria is now a dollar state now.
It is.
We are short of
declaring. No, because it is.
You know that they buy some houses in dollars in Nigeria.
Yeah.
You know, and all. And I mean, you can imagine the absurdity if you start transacting with dollar in the US.
With
Naira in the US.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know really. I just feel like there is a way we operate that.
And some guys think they are being smart. They are trying to hedge their income by charging you in dollars in Nigeria. Yeah.
You know, I know.
I mean, that's criminal, to be honest.
That's
criminal behavior.
The dollar that China UN is trying to move away from. The dollar that, legal tender is trying to move away from. The dollar that quite a number of nations are trying to move away from. That is the one that I can imagine when Jonathan was there, how much was the dollar?
It was like 199 or something.
And you can imagine we're now at 900 after Buhari, over 900. Yeah. Pounds is selling for 1,100.
Yeah.
You know, and all. You get? So a lot of people are doing so many things the wrong way. A lot of people are just messing the economy up and all and everything. And this government should be held to a very, 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 very high standard if we are really talking about us moving forward. So all the nonsense that this guy is talking on TV, people are not really happy at all when it comes to their economic life and all. So you shouldn't just be spouting off and just mouthing off and speaking English, you know, without really, really, you know, I mean, checking the plight of this. That's why, I mean, I'm not really a supporter. I'm not really a fan of Rufai. But if somebody makes sense, you know, I band behind them and all. And it made a lot of sense compared to what this Roti.
Yeah, Rotos. Yeah, no, Rotos, you've been a bad boy. I mean, I know everybody's hustling for their daily 2K right now, but have some conscience. We have to go on a quick break, but don't go anywhere because when we come back, we're going to be discussing Elon Musk. Elon Musk has made Twitter influencers happy this month. He has shared revenue. And before you know it now, everybody's going to be looking for engagement.
I'm just hoping that he can have the fight with Zuckerberg so that he can punch his face for me.
Yeah, I mean, he has announced that. I don't know much about that bout, to be honest.
Zuckerberg is running now. Zuckerberg is running.
Why are they going to want to fight? I don't understand.
Well, JP Zuckerberg, I said he doesn't mind.
Well, All That and More when we come back. We'll also be discussing Twitter influencer Ifunanya. The NBA has finally filed a petition to the legal disciplinary team on a case. Right back.
Hi there, beautiful people. It is your host, LA, and I do hope you're enjoying this episode. We would love to feel your pulse as we discuss trending topics. Connect with us on Twitter at FUNTAQA, that is Funtaka. We're also on Facebook, and that is FUNTAQA, Funtaka. Leave us a comment, give a like, follow us. We are dying to hear from you. Now, let's get back to the concluding part of this episode. Ciao!
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. If you're listening to this episode right now and you are enjoying this content, please don't forget to click on the follow or subscribe button, depending on what platform you're listening to us with, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, or whatever platform. You can click on the subscribe button so you can get notifications every time we drop new episodes, and we do be dropping them back to back, so you don't want to miss them. Back to the matter. Tomorrow is I realize it's a public holiday coming up. Government just announced a public holiday for Monday.
Yeah, that's in Lagos.
Also, southwestern parts of the country.
Yeah.
What's that about? I just like Ishashe, something like that.
Yeah, I mean celebration.
Ishashe Day.
Yeah, celebration of the Yoruba tradition. Have you? That's the.
No, it's still Yoruba tradition. Is it like a general Yoruba tradition, or is like a kind of like religion thingy on its own?
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what is not defined. Is it Yoruba tradition, or is it another religious, what's it called?
Ishashe, I think that's like a different, like, the way you have the, I don't know, Sha. Maybe the way you have the Ifa, that's like a different kind of tradition thing in Yoruba land. You probably have Ishashe as well. Yeah, it's a new thing to me. Yeah. So, I mean, I tried to do some research, not a lot of information.
Yeah, there's been quite a number of agitation, not agitation, but quite a number of comments up online, you know, talking about how they want to bring the Yoruba tradition back and all and everything. And I'm like, okay, fine, can we define it? What really is a tradition? Are we going into another religion? Or what really is a tradition? Can we have it defined?
Yeah.
You know, and all. You know, because, I mean, the tradition that that I grew up to know is maybe when there is a king, you know, there are some, what's it called? There are some people that, I mean, they call them Abubaku. So,
yeah,
they seed their life, you know, to the king. So when the king dies, I mean, that's what we're told. When the king died, then I mean,
Abubaku has to follow the king to the grave. That's the essence of Abubaku.
They have to die with the king. I don't know the sense in that, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's just like, you Jayo Bana? So it's like when the king was alive, you are enjoying some privileges because you're a servant to the king. You know, you live in the quarters, you know, you have access to food, the king's food, the king's water, you know, the prestige of serving the king. You've lived the life of a king, in quotes. Not that the king has died. So, you have to follow the king to the underworld now.
Yeah, I don't know. People die. I mean, the monarchy, the English monarchy, and all. If we're talking about someone that is celebrated, you can say that the queen was really celebrated. I don't know how many people died with her. You know, so
that's why they say that they are probably part of civilized societies.
Yeah, so I don't understand. So we need to define that what's it called, that tradition, Yoruba tradition that we're talking about. If it's going to now start what's it called, putting other people under, subjugate them, you know, and put them under, then I don't understand. Me, I'm not for that what's it called. But you always know that I've always been a fan of us, you know, embracing, you know, our language, embracing our culture of respect, you know, and all that. You know, if that's the case, then let's embrace it, you know. But if it is that one that now puts people under, and someone is now doing incantation that nobody can know, they are the only one that knows it, and they are the one interpreting to you and all and everything, then I'm not.
So there's a book on Amazon. I'm just saying, written by Dr. Ayele Kumari Isheshe. It's a spirituality workbook. It essentially shows insights into the ancestral wisdom of the Ifa Orisha tradition. So yeah, it's an Ifa.
So that means traditional tradition. Worship. Yeah. So that's like religious worship.
It's definitely religious worship, right? And the book speaks on some of the, some of the practicalities of the Ifa tradition, some personal rituals and rites that you can also perform to tap into the spiritual powers of Ifa. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So when we were worshipping them, the Ifa, in time past, how well did they make our economy?
So like you rightly said, right, this was a tradition that prior to the transatlantic slave trade, this was where the southwestern people, people of the southwestern regions worshipped. I think it's probably one of the things that were dispelled by the missionaries, right? To say these traditional rites are probably barbaric, nothing civil about it,
their argument now is that
we need to go back to our roots.
Yeah, we need to go back to our root, that the English religion is not serving us well.
Yeah.
And the question that I ask is how do they define that? What exactly are they? I mean, what's the yastic for
saying that? It's an identity thing, right? I would like to think it's an identity thing. And some local maybe Southwesterners are saying, listen, Islam, Christianity, these are foreign religions. This cannot be appended to our identity as Southwesterners. Our identity is Ifa, right? That's the ratio that we follow. And there are ways that historically we serve and worship this Ifa to also get the results that Islam...
What result?
I mean, connection to your spiritual creator, right?
So how
being
has that...
able to interact with, your own God evoking
how has that improved our lives, in the context of...
As Christianity improved our lives. Islam improved our lives.
For me, I'm a Christian, practicing Christian.
Yeah.
We have a literature. For the people that don't understand that's the Bible, and it documents the evolution of man, how man started, from the beginning up until now that we are around. If anybody wants to have that lecture or have that discussion, they can.
Ifa worship also has
they should project it to whoever. But what I'm saying is that, how has that helped us? We had that before the colonial guys, before the missionaries, and before the before they came, right?
Yeah.
How did it help us?
Yeah, some people would say they probably felt like they were living the time of their lives.
Some people would say, of course, some people would say they are living the time of their life, and then the Obabakus too were living the time of their life, innit? Don't forget that there is a structure for that type of government. And which is that the Oba
is king of kings and lord of lords,
and the Obas, God help you, the Obas catch your wife outside.
Yeah, it's done. You don't have. Yeah,
you know what they say, Obati Beseli.
That's property now.
So how has that improved humanity? And that's the thing. If we can prove it that it's improved humanity, he made people see themselves as equals, and the exchange what is called equal justice. If that is the case, then let's bring it back. But if that's not the case, if it puts some people, as some form of demigods over the rest of the people, then I'm not going to. That's the reason why, this form of government that we have now, this democratic government that we have now, kind of makes sense. Because if the government is not performing, the people will vote them out of the position and all. That is what democracy is supposed to do, and that should be any form of type of government. Maybe it's religious government, maybe it's whatever, in whatever guise they come, there should be some form of accountability, from the top down to the bottom. So for me, I'm not saying that nobody should not do a sheshe or what have you, they can do whatever they want to do and all, but while they are doing it, it shouldn't be anybody's cup of tea, and all.
So like in Kwara State now, where Muslim community has essentially shut down any first public festivals for Esheshe or whatever it is, and they're like using this Kwara. Kwara is a largely Muslim state. Everyone has freedom to, you know, serve who you want to serve, but we're not going to give you space to do any public, you know.
No, but I heard what that man said.
Dispositions and all that.
That one is infringing on their right as well. That's infringing on their right, because you're saying like, okay, you are not, you are not stopping them from doing their religion, but you are saying they can't do it in Kwara.
No, they are saying they can't have any public, you know, festivals.
Yeah, but they can have the Muslim festivals publicly. He said it's like, it's like taking the Esheshe or taking the Muslim this thing to
Basilica. It's like taking the layer to the Basilica.
No, but it doesn't make sense. We operate in a
multicultural,
multi-religious state.
Environment, yeah.
So if you are now in, superimposing your own religion on somebody else's, does that make sense? It's because you are now, you feel that you're in power and you have the numbers.
That's why
you are doing that to somebody else. It doesn't make sense. That's what we're saying. That's why.
But you can say it doesn't make sense, but it's based on, and hear me out, right?
Yeah.
It's based on their own view, which is they are trying to protect the sanctity of the religion. Now, look at America, for example, and I'll use this angle, and I'll turn it to you as well. You have a problem with it, right? Because you're saying, oh, because you guys are more, or you guys are the dominant force in that environment, you should not be able to drown out other people who have a different, you know, view from you. In America today, you have the LGBTQ community who are pushing for the right to exist and live their life openly in America.
They are pushing for their rights to be able to marry each other if they want to. They want you to accept them. That's not what they are doing. What they are doing is, I mean, American system gives them the right to be able to marry each other if they want to. The right to be able to marry each other if they want to. So now, you know, walking publicly, that right now goes to public affection without feeling like that's what they did. I saw one of the videos in the UK. They were removing the flag, the nation's flag. They were removing and replacing it with LGBTQ flag. And someone was asking the person from downstairs, were like, that's wrong. He said, I know it's wrong, but I had to do my job because I don't want to get fired, you know, and all. So what is that? That is no longer right. That is now imposing yourself on the people, like, either you like it or not, we are going to force ourselves on you and you're going to accept. But if it's in a nation that everybody, you can do whatever you want to do, but don't force it on me. And that's what this man is saying now. What this man is saying, like, when he's telling them that they can't have their musical, their worship in public and all, that is more like you're imposing yourself. Now, and nothing lasts forever. There might be some form of, you know, maybe like insubordination will be a revolution and all and everything, they overtake them and all, and then they now put them to under. They're not saying you can't do your religious worship, you know, that and in public and all. That's the way it's going to be. So what we are saying is that because of the Esheshe, let them do whatever they want to do. Don't impose it on anybody, which is fine. That's what I'm saying. Christianity that I worship, I don't force it on anybody. I don't even ask you to. Even the Bible says it, like, you know, choose life. If you like, choose it. If you don't like, choose it. But there are consequences that are down the line and all. But it's not forcing anybody to do it. So for me, that's where I always see life to be.
Okay, noted. let's see how it unfolds, right? The traditionalists are beginning to gather their voice together and say, listen, I think we've had enough of the foreign imported religions. We'd like to go back to our roots.
But Christianity is not imported.
It's imported
now. No, it's not imported.
Christianity is not imported.
It's not imported. It's not imported. Before Jesus Christ was born, there was Egypt. Don't forget.
I don't understand.
Therefore, there was Egypt. Why did Moses, had to go and...
Christianity did not start in Egypt.
I'm saying before Jesus Christ, there was Egypt. Now they are saying, the religion is Jewish. religion, because Jesus
Christianity
was Jew.
Is not Jewish.
Yeah. But
either.
No, that's what the people that are arguing against it are arguing.
Oh, well, I don't know who the people are. I don't care about the people arguing.
Abraham was
in Nigeria. Christianity is an imported religion. That's
no, it's not. It's not imported, because if you look at
Serving Jesus from the get-go.
If you look at how the Bible started, from Adam down. What's it called? The line. If you look at it from that creation, Abraham was the one that was maybe making babies, that was procreating and all.
That's according to the story to according to Christianity.
Yeah, but that's what I'm
Everybody
saying.
Everybody has their own story. So what are you saying?
Yeah.
What makes your own story the only story?
But that's what
the
I'm
most
saying.
Accurate story.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm not going to have that conversation here, but that is the religion that I practice.
And that's the one you practice and you believe. Doesn't mean that it's the only one that stands. I'm telling you that in Nigeria today, Christianity was not from the go religion. It's an important religion.
No, it's not important.
To Nigerians.
It is not important. The reason why I'm saying it's not important is that based on the information that I have at my disposal, that I've read, that I've come to understand, yeah, creation started from Adam. Now, if you want to have that conversation, please, what's it called?
There's no having conversation. Explain to me why it's not an important religion in Nigeria.
Please. No, that's what I'm saying. Please call me out on Twitter. I can call you. We can have that conversation, long conversation, because it's not going to be a conversation that we're going to just have short bits and pieces. I've told you, the concept of Christianity didn't just is not just an happenstance.
So guess
it
what?
Started from
your point
Adam.
Is Christianity is the one true religion.
Yeah.
So because it's the one true religion, it can't be imported. That you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you that in Nigeria. When Nigeria was still Niger area, before Lord Lugard and his cohorts came, were we practicing Christianity?
That's what I'm saying. You see?
So it means we're practicing something else that somebody else fashioned somewhere. It may or may not have been true religion.
It's as a result
of... But it was a religion that people were practicing at the time.
It is as a result of... it's as a result of humans, kind of, finding their path. All over the world. Now, that's why I said, like, this discussion is going to be long. Okay, now let me give you an instance. When when Noah, when the world was erased and Noah restarted the world back and all, started making babies, the babies now started making other babies. Like, if you are reading the Bible will tell you, like, okay, Noah begat so, and that one begat so, and that one begat so, and that one begat so. That is what I'm telling you about the concept of the creation that the Bible tells me. And I'm telling you that it's from there that people now began to scatter all over the world. At some point, the Canaanites began to do rituals. They began to do their own worship and all and everything. Now, from there, they now began to sacrifice humans because they gave themselves to reprobate mind. They started to do, what's it called? And that's the reason why, God, at some point, they started to worship, the crafted God. The molded God at some point with in the Moses era and all.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, from there, that is where religious and traditional worship, all those worship and all those stuff came out from. Okay. I'm telling you, like, for me, I'm saying, like, this discussion is not something that we can have here. If anybody wants to prove me wrong or what have you,
nobody is proving you wrong.
Yeah.
It's a simple question of fact.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm telling
you. And you just made some points now, which is from the generation of Noah downwards, unless you are telling me that from Noah's progenitors Christianity started already at that time, which is not true. Like you rightly said, some Canaanites went, broke off, started worshiping Moloch, the ones that worship Baal, the ones that worship Baal. It all happened that way.
Okay,
until,
so if even
until
if...
the Jews came about, and then from the Jews we have Jesus Christ coming in, right, and then raising the disciples, Peter, Paul, those are the projects.
No, if we're going to
right?
talk about,
and what I'm saying to you, you've just said the same thing that I've been saying since morning. At that point, there were already different religions being formed according to human beings' own interpretation of how they want to connect to the supernatural.
No, but,
creator,
but
right?
But what I'm trying to say, is that if you look at it from Adam, the concept of Christianity came later. Christianity is not even supposed to be, what's it called? It was God trying to reconnect man back to himself. And then Jesus Christ came. What Jesus Christ came to do, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have, on this medium, what we discuss is we just discuss general discussions.
No, but
I don't want us
to dig deep.
Yeah,
free to dig deep.
No, no, no. I don't want. Okay, if like that's what I'm saying. Now
I can give you 10 more minutes to make your
okay,
point.
Okay, now, what's it called? God created Adam. He wanted connection with Adam.
Yeah.
Adam decided to do his own thing. Adam failed. What's it called? It's from that point, God wanted to restore his fellowship back to man. And
okay.
All. So he's been looking for someone, you know, that can that can have that, you can have always have that medium with and all. And from there, he's beginning to look for the person that will represent his interests. The person that will represent, and what he said when from that when he created Adam, it's like, let's make man, let them have dominion, let's make man in our image, let them have dominion over the world. Now what God wanted was someone that would have his own concept of life on earth, you know, and follow that process through Adam. And that's why I'm telling you, like, the Christian religion is what I like, because God will never force you. Any religion that force you to accept what they're doing it's not a religion.
So let me ask you a question. You negating the fact that there are other religions that have a right to be followed?
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, like, if anybody chooses or if anybody says that there is an other religion, they are fine. They can do their religion.
Fine.
But what I'm saying is,
you
for me,
Christianity is the way.
Exactly.
No, but I'm not disputing that with you. That's your personal preference, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Now back to the original question.
Yeah,
I said in Nigeria, prior to the 1960s or the 1920s, before pre-colonial era.
Yeah,
what religion were the people living in the Niger area following at that time?
That's what I'm telling you. If they were following, if at that time what they were doing was religious worship, I mean, what they were doing was traditional worship, there is every likelihood that it spilled from that, from the time of creation. It spilled, and it was one of those guys that, went their way and started to create their own God.
Okay.
And don't forget that, there is no vacuum in leadership. Everybody would always be looking for something to bow down, to subject themselves to, and all and everything.
Okay.
That's the reason why, those guys, when Moses was away, and Moses couldn't tell them about what God is saying,
They created a calf for themselves.
Yeah, okay. So that's the thing. So for me, what I'm trying to say is that at the time that they were practicing or what they're practicing, because the world has already, everybody has already, God, they are separate with. They are practicing what they were practicing. God was looking for an alternative that will restore man back to the original status. That's the reason why Jesus Christ came and he died for humanity. And then from then, he says, if you accept him, you accept him. And then he gives you the Holy Spirit. And then you can worship him individually by yourself. You know, you can connect back to God and all. And then he now gives you the sovereign right over your own body to either accept or not. The religion that we practice here is that, the Orisha says or what have you and all. And there are some people that are going to be used for sacrifice. The sacrifice will mean that, they will have, part of the things that I also don't fancy is whenever those sacrifices are happening, nobody can go out. You cannot do anything. Don't forget that it happened during the vote stuff that they said they wanted to start and all. And I'm saying, like, any religion that subjugates the people, that put them under, that makes them hostage and all, that's not a religion I want to practice. Christianity gives you the option of either you accept or not, and it's not going to force you.
Okay, I get that.
That's what I'm saying.
But I feel like we're talking on two different planes here, and I'm a bit confused.
Okay.
I'm not arguing.
Don't forget that you are the one that dragged this thing.
You can't hands off when you have not made it. We've not landed on a point.
Okay.
We're going off a tangent. I'm not disputing what you've said, right? You've made your preference clear about the religion that you think is the right one.
And I'm not arguing that.
And I'm not arguing on that, right? The only point that maybe I'm not articulating it properly for you to understand.
Yeah.
I said the people of the Southwest, a few of them are beginning to clamor that they want to go back to their roots, and they've had enough of the imported religion of Christianity and Islam. you said Christianity is not an imported religion.
Yeah.
And I said,
gave you reasons why.
How is Christianity not an imported religion?
Yeah.
To the people of Nigeria, to the pre-colonial era, the Nigerians or the Southwesterners, the Northerners, the Southeasterners, they all had whatever traditional worships that they were following.
Yeah.
You might argue that whatever it is they were worshipping was the wrong one, right? Based on, like you said, some descendants of Noah came about their own idea of how they want to reach their supernatural creator. And they are offering sacrifices.
That's actually the reason why God destroyed the world the first time. Because, man had already, they had gone their ways. You know, they had started to do different sort of stuff. Some people killing themselves, some people eating themselves. So they were doing all sort of stuff. And then that's the reason why God destroyed the world.
Well, we are in agreement.
According to what the Bible says.
We are in agreement with all that. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing now with you. Now, the question here is, are you saying that because the people, according to you, were worshipping wrongly, because their worship was wrong, so it does not exist? Christianity being brought over by the missionary to Nigerians is not an importation. It's maybe a restoration of what should have been from the get-go.
Yeah,
that you are saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is your own interpretation.
Yeah.
Of
don't
what
forget
you think it is.
It's
not a fact.
When
that's
I
the
read,
point I'm trying
no,
to
no.
make.
When I read you, that's your.
It's
own.
It's not my. It's not a
now,
statement of fact. You
that
can say
your,
that. You know, relax.
You see, now,
you
see,
can
now,
say
what,
that.
What you are saying.
You can say
no,
that.
No, what you are saying.
What the people were watching.
No,
that
what you
time,
are saying.
In your own view.
What you are
you can
saying.
Can say it was a wrong religion.
No, what you are saying.
And
now,
then the right one was brought through the gospel.
No, what you are saying now. What
that's an importation.
No, what you are saying now.
Which you can say. Was maybe in the best interest of the people
what
because the right one came.
What you are saying,
but you
now,
can't say it was not an importation.
No, what you are saying now, what you are saying now is, you are trying to, what's it called? You are trying to, impose. yeah,
how am I imposing?
You are trying to
rest. You
wait
have to be very
now,
careful with
let
the
me,
words you try.
Wait
around.
Now, we are trying to.
You can't just say I try.
Wait,
I can't use the word.
Don't
impose.
Forget. Don't forget.
How am I trying to impose?
There was something that I said.
You are the one imposing. Actually,
no. There was something that I said when we wanted to, when we are going the slippery slope.
What did you say?
I said, this is not a discussion I want to have. I told you. I said, for
it's
me,
not because you
hold on
because
now,
your
hold on
your
now.
Position is flawed. That's
hold
why
on,
I don't
let me
have
finish.
It.
Let me finish. Let me finish. And I mean, your saying is flawed. Does not hold water because, I mean, that's your own opinion. What I'm saying is that the religion, where I started from, what the question that I ask is, the traditional worship that was being practiced at the time, what good did it do for the nation that they were in? That was the question that I asked. And I said, what's it called? Another thing, when the missionary came, that's when school came, the school system, the schooling system came and all. And we all saw what the schooling system did, you know, to what's it called, to modernization and to growth and to all sort of what's it called, to people, I mean, getting the knowledge and all. And don't forget, it came with colonialism, you know, and the colonial way of doing things will mean that you have to what's it called, they have to also what's it called, in some ways, in every way, they have to what's it called, bring their culture, I mean, what's it called, introduce their culture to you and all and everything. And that's why I said we have a 30 minute window. We have a musical. We don't have all the time. If we are really, really going to go deep into it, we can explain it.
We don't need to go deep into it. That's the point I've been trying to make. We don't need to go deep into it because it's a simple statement of fact. So let's not dribble around it. Rest.
Can you
the statement?
Can you
the statement
what,
I have
hold
made.
Hold on. What
say
I said.
Yes
is,
or no,
no,
with
this,
you.
No. What you said. What you said was that the region was imported, and I'm saying like from the beginning, from the what's it called, the Bible that I know, it was not imported. It came about. It came to. And don't forget when Jesus. I don't even understand what you. I don't know what you believe. Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Go into all the world."
I'm a believer of the gospel, but
so
I'm not.
He said,
"I'm not."
He said. He said. He told them.
Who was
wait
word?
Now. He said. He told
I'm
them,
a believer
said,
of the gospel, but
said,
I'm not.
He said. He told them. He told them. He said, "Go into all the world," because into all the world will mean that there are some places that you need to get
to preach that
gospel. If you get there and preach, are you not importing your religion to them? Are you not importing the good news to them?
Yeah, but
I mean, unless the word importation does not mean what it means.
No. You see, importation, okay, fine, I get what you're saying. Importation will mean that
you're bringing something new over.
It was alien to them, it was new to them.
Yeah, simple.
It was new to them. That's fine. But what I'm saying is that the true, where we started from, was the true religion, and I said that's one that I believe. I don't understand why some people feel like because it is their religion, they have to impose it on people. That's what I said. That's where we started from.
I never disagreed that with you either.
So that's where we started from. We are the one that dragged us.
Simple. Maybe you were not understanding the English I was using. So I need to understand where you're coming from. And I feel it was worth the time. But we know we've run out of time and we can't drag any further. But guys at home, let us get your thoughts on Isheshe and the African traditional religion. Do you think it's time for us to call it back? Or do you think that we are better off where we are right now, moving to the permanent site? We don't need to look back. Let's get your thoughts on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. From us at The Junction, we're signing out. We're going to see y'all next week. Till then, it is Sarah Noya. Catch y'all later.